course of discussing movies, the host will spoil plots. You've been warned. Listen to their screams.
Greetings, ghouls and creeps, and welcome to Listen to Their Screams, a horror podcast that feels like you're chatting with friends. I am one of your friends, Dave. We're joined, as always, by your other friend, Ike. Ike, how are you?
Oh, man.
I feel you.
Man, oh, man.
You don't need to say anymore. I feel it. I sympathize with your pain. Empathize in the eyes there is.
So. I won't reveal it, but man, I work for a call center of some form, some shape, and I take escalated calls, and man, took a long one today, and my brain is mush. So that's all I gotta say.
I recommend alcohol when that's over with, and you're off the clock and need to recover. I found that always rejuvenates my soul.
True.
But it also rejuvenates me to know that today we get to talk about Winnie the Pooh, Blood and Honey 2. I am so damn excited to talk about this movie. This is a movie we've been pumped up about. We couldn't wait. And spoiler alert for the review coming. It didn't let me down. I'm ready. I'm psyched and excited to talk about it. But before we get there, we got all kinds of crap to talk about. Just all kinds of stuff. We got news. We have birthdays. We have anniversaries, and we are debuting a new segment today. So, but before we get there, Ike, did you watch anything this week?
Yeah, actually, I watched quite a bit. Since the last episode, Kayla and I last weekend, because I was off for a couple of days, so we had a little bit of time to watch some movies, rewatch some movies, honestly. We went through and watched all of the Paranormal Activity movies, so Paranormal Activity 1 through 4. The Marked Ones, Ghost Dimension, Next of Kin. So, did a complete rewatch of that series. We rewatched Smile, rewatched The Babadook. We rewatched a movie from years ago called Case 39. And then I also sat down and watched all of the Final Destination movies. So, that's what I watched.
Wow, that's a lot.
Yeah.
Makes up for the fact that I did not watch crap outside of Buffy. I'm almost done with Buffy. I only have a couple episodes left. So I'm almost there. But not that I recall. I don't think I watched anything. So slightly disappointing on my part. I apologize. If anybody's like, if they just tune in for that, well, I guess you can go now.
You're right.
But hopefully you'll stick around because we have a lot more to talk about, including our new weekly segment.
Seven Screams of Horror.
Oh, I guess before we get here, we're getting ready to do our new segment, but I forgot. I got so excited about all this that I do need to send a thank you to all of our listeners, followers, and our wives, particularly Kayla this week, who came up with this idea for our new segment. And I dig it. Ike digs it, and we're going to do it. And that sounds very weird, but okay. But we are calling it Seven Screams of Horror. Now, everybody has heard of, what is it, 6 Degrees of Kevin Bacon. We're giving ourselves an extra step here because seven's a little more, what do you want to call it? A little more spooky number, so to speak. And I don't think it's fair to go to like 13 steps. I mean, that's just ridiculous.
It's too much. Too many steps.
I mean, granted, sometimes we need training wheels, but I don't think we need that much. I think we'll just take the one extra step. But it is where it'll either be Kayla or Monica will give us two actors, actresses, whatever, that have appeared in horror movies or series or something of the sort. And Ike and I have to connect them through other various actors. Now, Ike, do you understand the point system right off the top of your head?
I do.
Okay. Why don't you explain it? Because, I mean, I would have to read it. It would sound a little bit undecided. So explain to us how the point system goes for the connections.
Yep, absolutely. So basically, it's a similar point system in spirit to like mini golf, where you want a lower number, the lowest number possible, right?
Yes, because that means the fewer connections, the stronger the connections.
Right. Whatever. So one point means that you had one horror connection. And Kayla, you know, added a little twist. So sometimes it's easy to connect people through horror movies. Sometimes it's not. So if you can find a connection through a horror movie, it is 1 point. But if you have to stray from the path of horror, you know, we have a pretty large window of horror here. But if you have to stray from the path, that connection is 2 points. So, you know, common, you know, I play this game with Kayla, not horror, where we connect to actors. So, like, let's say you use a really big blockbuster motion picture team-up movie like The Avengers. It's going to cost you 2 points. It's a good move, but it's going to cost you.
Yeah. Which is, yeah, I mean, in the overall, if you've got to make the connection, you can't come up with anything else. You got to do it. But ideally, in the ideal world, you're looking for the fewest connections of people and for those connections to be horror related.
Yep.
But you have to do what you have to do. So Kayla has assigned us our first task this week. Are you ready with your connections?
I think so.
All right. Well, why don't you lay it on us? What were the two actors that Kayla gave us this week?
She gave us Jamie Lee Curtis and Finn Wolfhard.
All right. And when she first shot these, I thought, ooh, that sounds very, very difficult when you just first glance at it. Because there, you know, lots of age difference, lots of generational difference. It sounds so difficult. But then when I thought about it, I thought, ha, and I got it pretty quick. So I don't know. How should we do this? Like, should we each just tell our connections? Or should we each say how many we made first?
Let's go with how many we made first, and then we can kind of see, because we might have the same connection, because...
It could be. Well, I made the connection in two actors, both horror movies.
Let's see. I made the connection in two actors, both horror movies as well.
Interesting. Okay, so it will be a draw. So in this case, it would be 2 points apiece, right?
Just to make sure, basically, because I think I'm confusing myself. You have the first movie connects to the second movie, and then the second movie connects to the third movie. So it's three movies total. But two connecting points, correct?
No, I did not connect. I did not count Finn and Jamie Lee. I have two in between the two.
Okay, so
is that what? That's what I'm. I have. Okay, let me just explain to you what I have here. This is what I have. I have Finn Wolfhard connects to Paul Rudd via Ghostbusters Afterlife, who connects to Donald Pleasence and Halloween Curse of Michael Myers, who then connects to Jamie Lee Curtis in Halloween.
Okay, so I had that exact same connection.
Okay.
I just
counted when I counted just the two in between, whatever we have to do to connect. I don't count the two original people in the connection. So.
Gotcha. Yep. That's what I did too. I was confusing myself. So yep, two step.
So this week it is a draw, 2 points apiece, for Ike and I. Oh boy, this is another competition that I'm just probably doomed. Doomed to lose, but we'll see. I guess I started with the draw, so that's better than nothing.
Well, and I think this was a good one too, because it was a thinker, because I didn't make the Curse of Michael Myers connection right away. Like, I was thinking about it, and I was thinking about it, and I'm like, I need to come up with a connection, because, you know, I was thinking to myself, like, how can we connect it to It? Because Finn Wolfhard's in It, there's a lot of people in It. Like, I was really pushing for the It connection. I was like, well, you know, Bill Skarsgård's and, you know, Barbarian and this, that, and the other. I'm like, it's too many steps. There's got to be a simpler step. And then I remembered that he was in fucking Ghostbusters with Paul Rudd. And I'm like, Paul Rudd connects to, like, everything. He's in the Avengers movie. I was like, but then I was like, wait a second. He was in fucking Michael Myers.
Yep.
So, yeah. Yeah. That was my epiphany. I was like, holy shit.
Yeah, when I thought it through, I started with thinking about Jamie Lee, because I thought, well, obviously Jamie Lee's known for Halloween, right? So it, you know, and she was in several of those. So I thought, so, okay, so how can I get him connected to a Halloween movie? And I thought, ooh, I don't know. And I thought, okay, well, I'm thinking, okay, what is Wolfhard done here recently? And I thought, well, obviously there's Stranger Things. I don't think there's a whole lot there, right? He was in the new It. I don't know. Okay, well, he's in Ghostbusters, right? And I say, oh, well, Paul Rudd, right? And I immediately thought, oh, he's in a Halloween. Then I had to sit and really think, oh, was Donald Pleasence in that Halloween? And then I was like, oh, yeah, he definitely is, right? Because the whole, you know, scene at the end with the baby, particularly what really jumped to mind. So I thought, oh, yeah, he definitely is. So I thought, oh, there it is. So, but yeah, it was a lot of fun. Nice little new segment to put in the rotation. Thank you again, Kayla, for the idea. And hopefully I don't just hopefully I don't just lose at something again, but we'll see. So give us some feedback. What do you think? Seven Screams of Horror, and let us know, are you able to connect Finn Wolfhard to Jamie Lee Curtis in fewer steps, fewer points, or in just a different way? I'd be curious to see if there's a different path to of doing it. You know, Jamie Lee obviously has done several horror movies, lots of horror movies. It doesn't have to be a connection to Halloween. Is that, is there a connection there possible that what we didn't see or didn't think about? So I'd be curious to see other connections, to see what's, you know, possibly out there. So hit us on social media. Let us know what you did, how you did, what you think of it. And let's have some fun. Play along with us at home. There is no take home board game for this, but that you can play on your own time. All right. So let's move along. Take a break. When we come back, we'll have news, birthdays, and movie anniversaries. So stick around.
Make sure you subscribe to listen to their screams on your favorite podcast platform. Also, make sure you look us up on social media. We're on Facebook, Twitter, Instagram, Letterboxd, TikTok, and Slasher. All you have to do is look up Listen to Screams. That is Listen, the number 2 in Screams, and you can find us there. Also, make sure you go and buy yourself a Listen to Their Screams t-shirt. You can find all of our shirts at tinyurl.com/screamsshirts.
Spreading the news. And we're back with the news. All right, baseball fans. No, I'm just kidding. all right, sports fans. Let's play some foosball. No, I'm kidding. Starting off strong with the news, as you can tell. I don't
foosball.
I don't know. I'm playing the Bobby Boucher. My mama said, "Boo, foosball's for the devil." Sorry guys, my brain scrambled. Starting us off strong with the news, producer Keith Levine has said a sequel to Hulu's 2022 Hellraiser reboot is in the works, and conversations are being had to bring it to the streaming service, of course, meaning Hulu. I really enjoyed the Hellraiser reboot. I think it was a solid return to the original source material. Obviously, the original Hellraiser will always exist as a pinnacle of horror and body horror as well, but the remake was very, very good. So I'll be excited to see more come from that for sure.
Yeah, me too. It was a fun movie. I definitely want to see these things, you know, keep on, tell more stories, expand the universes, you know, put more quality stuff out there. I'm all about content, and let's just do it. So hopefully we see something from that in the future.
Amen. All right. Terrifier 3 director Damien Leone has said on social media that they just filmed one of the most insanely horrific scenes of the Terrifier franchise. As well, the Art the Clown director, David Howard Thornton, even took to social media and this is not a direct quote, but he basically said that it almost made him vom. So that's an interesting thing coming from Art himself. Obviously we're excited for this. Terrifier 3 hits theaters on October 25th. So, you better believe we'll be reviewing it as soon as humanly possible after that movie comes out. Yes,
absolutely. And, the last time they said something to this, of this sort was when they referenced in Terrifier 2 the bleach and salt scene or whatever it was. And, they made similar, claims, right? Similar posts. And, they were on cue. And we'll see. I'm curious to see what this is referencing. And I don't know if it's will hold true. I don't know if maybe I misread or I'm remembering wrong. I thought I saw something where that this scene might even be the opening scene. I don't know.
Yeah.
I thought I said something, but I don't remember. I could be misremembering that.
No, I have heard the same thing. Obviously, it's all internet speculation because obviously it didn't come from the source, which is Damien or David or anybody else. I heard the same thing, that the opening scene is supposed to be really, really rough. I don't know if it's the same scene or if it's referencing two different scenes, which is also very likely.
Whatever it is, just bring on all the scenes. I'm ready.
Correct. Absolutely. I want to be scarred from this next movie, so I'm hoping that's the case.
I want nightmares.
True. All right. So, moving on, we have some good news about our favorite love-hate relationship, Scream. Courtney Cox is in talks to return as Gale Weathers and Scream 7. So, I don't know what happened. I don't know if the studio just whipped out a whole fuck ton of money and was just like, look, everybody please come back. We're begging you. That's kind of what it seems like. So, if Courtney Cox is returning, if Nev Campbell is returning, I think that we have a pretty strong possibility of, you know, it actually happening. And I'm also hopeful that we'll see the return of our favorite murderous entity, Stu. I'm excited. Courtney Cox coming back is a sign of good times for sure.
Yeah. Well, again, we had this conversation. We talked about the Scream movies and we're like, it is a mess, right? This is such a weird relationship because I love this franchise. But they got me to a point at one point where we literally said on an episode, just put it to rest for a while. Let's just put it down, let it lie for a while. But in that same conversation, we said, but if they're going to go ahead and do another, the things that can save it is you got to have Nev Campbell. You've got to have Courtney Cox. It would be preferable to have Patrick Dempsey, right? You get those guys on. Okay. That's interesting. But what we said is the saving grace that can make everybody forget everything is to finally pull the trigger and have Stu come back. Yeah. If I'm telling you, if he comes back, fandom will lose their mind and they'll be like, all's forgiven. Please make another movie.
Yeah.
And, so here's hopeful. Obviously there won't be an announcement on that, right? Because they're going to keep that hush hush under wraps. But again, you know, they've got Nev on board. She herself has confirmed that there are from reputable sources saying Courtney Cox is in talks. I don't guess that's finalized yet, but probably a good chance that if Nev's back, you know, Courtney will probably do it too. Hopefully they get Patrick Dempsey because that makes sense. If you've got Sydney back on that you have her husband. So that's a pretty strong trio to build the thing around. And, you know, what do you do for the killer then? I mean, it's gotta be Stu, right? I mean, come on. But I say that every movie, but it makes the most sense in this. Who else? You can't just introduce some new character and don't do that. That's lame, but we'll see. I'm getting mildly excited for the next one again. You're right. I love the franchise. It was such a mess, but at least they're starting to pique my interest a little bit again. So maybe they're setting me up to break my heart again, but we'll see.
Yeah, I was gonna say we talk all this big game like, oh yeah, Scream's back, and then before we know it, it's just like, oh nope, went to shit. So we'll see.
Yeah, we'll review it when it comes up, so everybody will know.
Oh, for sure. All right, some not so good news, guys. Leigh Whannell's Wolfman, which recently began filming, was originally hoping to release October 25th. However, it has recently been announced to be pushed back to January 17th, 2025. I don't blame him. I wouldn't want to compete with Terrifier 3 either, but I kid. Not really. I would definitely watch Terrifier 3 over the Wolfman any day. But, it takes him a little bit more time to, you know, flesh out his ideas, get the filming done, get the post-production done. True fans are not going to have a problem with this. I am excited for the new Wolfman movie, but obviously, let the craft take its time. I'm in no hurry, guys.
Yeah. I mean, I'm excited for it. And I believe when we talked about this, I think we had this we talked about it in the news when it's kind of started filming. Yeah. And they gave that release date of October 20th. I'm pretty sure we said, damn, that seems quick. That's I don't know how they're going to do it, but that does seem awfully quick. I'm guessing probably in their mind, the hopes was Halloween release.
Yeah.
Right. You want to hit it, but again, you have to be realistic. If you can't do it, you can't do it. I'm glad they just went ahead and said right now and said, okay, we can't do it. So because when you wait till The Wire, people start saying, oh, what's wrong with this movie? What's wrong? It must not be good. They put, you know, people start talking weird stuff when it happens closer to the time. So I'm glad they finally just said, you know what? Nah, maybe we shouldn't rush this. Maybe that was a little unrealistic. And they did it now while people are going to be like, oh, okay, that makes sense. And not lose their freaking minds on the internet like they do.
Yeah, absolutely. Obviously, they're still going to do it. It's the internet, but...
Of course.
But anyways, All right. Moving on to some upcoming birthdays, anniversaries, and releases. Starting us off very strong and very timely. April 6, 1969, Paul Rudd, known for his role as Tommy Doyle in the Halloween Curse of Michael Myers film, as well as his role in other films such as, you know, Ant-Man, The Avengers, Ghostbusters. He is celebrating a birthday, April 6th.
Yeah, kind of ironic. We just brought him up earlier in our game, and here he is. When I think Paul Rudd, I still always think of his appearances in Friends.
Yeah.
Because that's kind of the first time I really took notice of Paul Rudd. I mean, I'd seen him in some things, saw him in Halloween, whatever, but just seeing him in Friends in those episodes is when I really thought, man, this guy is something else, and really got something. But obviously, what a career, what a dude, a really, really great guy from, all indications. And apparently it must be a vampire because he doesn't age. So,
yeah, we're pretty positive he is, but, I guess we'll find out when he appears on film. So unless that's a stereotype for vampires, you know. I don't know. Anywho, another very awesome birthday, April 8th, 1955. Kane Hodder, known for his many roles in the Friday the 13th franchise, as well as many other things like Hatchet and what's that Fanboy 13, that fan mm-hmm. film, right? He was in.
Yeah. Oh, he's done a ton of. I mean, there's.
Oh yeah.
He's done. I mean, just. All over the place, right? I mean, obviously the stuntman work is so much. I mean, both, you know, horror and non-horror, but, you know, he's starting to take more role, you know, more in-depth roles out of his cliche roles here lately in films. And then man, he's an hilarious guy. I mean, he's got a podcast with Felisa Rose and stuff, and he's just a funny, funny guy. And, obviously, whether, you know, he is the most noted of the Jasons because of the films he's in, that's up for argument, right? Based on what you like most. But nobody can deny how good he was in the role itself and how, you know, he was. I mean, he's done it on screen more than anybody else. He's played Jason on screen more than anybody else. So. Yeah,
absolutely. Absolutely. And I would dare say my favorite person to play Jason, if I may say so myself.
Well, he was in Jason Takes Manhattan, so he gets a lot of love from me.
True. Very true. All right. Only two birthdays this week, but we have a few upcoming movie anniversaries to chat about. Starting us off strong, April 5th, 2013, The Evil Dead remake. I really enjoy The Evil Dead remake. I think it was very good, and I really hope that the rumors that they are going to bring back the actress who played Mia in a later entry into the franchise would be fantastic. Actually, I heard a rumor the other day that they were going to bring back her, the final girls from The Evil Dead Rise, and then also Bruce Campbell for one more throwdown all together. So I feel like that'd be really cool, and if they could pull it off, I'm down for it.
Yeah, I mean, they've established it in a very cool way, right? Because there's, you know, the original films, there's the reboot, there's the TV series, and on face value, they're not really connected, but they have, you know, gone on to say, hey, there's more than one book, right? And that is what, you know, what there is and what connects all this. And so it really opens that universe up to what they can do and what the crossovers they can do and interesting things. And so they've been very creative with it. And, like I said, I'm a big Evil Dead, fan. I have my favorites, my, you know, non-favorites, but I do not dislike anything in that franchise 100%. It's all fun.
Yeah, absolutely. 100% agreed. All right. Moving on, we have April 6, 2018, A Quiet Place. This is the film that started off the current ongoing trilogy of films, The Quiet Place 2, and of course, Quiet Place Day 1, coming soon to a theater near you. I love The Quiet Place. John Krasinski is fantastic in his work with that film. And I would say it's more of a thriller than it is a true horror film to some degree, but it's still such a good movie.
Yeah, it is. It is. You know, it's, you know, a little bit of a creature film, and you know, in a bit, but it's definitely got some spooky spooky moments, scary moments, but we've had this talk, a lot of recent horrors, not very scary anyway, so it's just as scary as any of those. So, but yeah, good movie.
Yeah, absolutely. All right, now we have a couple throwbacks here. This one's a big throwback. April 7th, 1933, the King Kong film. I've seen the original. I know they remade it years later, and then they remade it years later, and then they remade it years later. And they're still making King Kong movies, I think. So
yeah, there's a Godzilla versus Godzilla Kong movie in theaters now.
Right.
yeah.
But I've seen the Peter Jackson remake with Jack Black. I like that one.
Yeah, I love King Kong. I love King Kong, and I love Godzilla. But the original, it does hold a very dear place in my heart. I mean, is it the one that I would probably jump back to and watch the most? No, it's not. But because, you know, it is an older film. But to watch it and think about what they accomplished given that time and what they have, you know, what they started. Again, that I can always marvel on that and whatever. And I think it was remade. I want to say 1976. That's one of my favorites. It is so good. I think it was 76 or sometime in the 70s. But I do enjoy the modern take on Kong. And, you know, the Skull Island and all. I mean, I love that whole universe with the Godzilla and the Kong and the Mothra and the monsters and all that. It's all just wonderful stuff for me.
Absolutely. Love it. Love a good King Kong. Love a good Godzilla or Gojira, however you want to say it. But all right. Another throwback for you guys. And I actually talked about this a couple weeks ago when I had the unfortunate pleasure of watching all of them. But April 10th, 1981, The Howling. I have a love-hate relationship with The Howling. The first one is okay. The second one is not okay. And then the rest of them go on to a very deep spiral of just absolutely abysmal films and not sure why they were made. So the first one's good, though. I like it.
yeah, I do like the first one. And yeah, it's hard to believe it's been that long, man. It's just... weird. Some of these movies where you see that they're 40 years old or whatever, it's just, I don't know. Does not feel like it to me, but I do like The Howling.
Yeah. Can't beat The Howling. All right.
Well, yeah, you can beat The Howling. It's still a pretty good film.
You can beat The Howling pretty easily, but.
But it's still all right.
That's right. You're all right, my book, kid. All right. Now we have two upcoming releases. One of these we'll be reviewing next week. One of them is on Shudder, and I do want to see both of these. I heard good things about both.
Yeah.
But starting us off, The First Omen comes to theaters on April 5th. It is described as a young American woman is sent to Rome to begin a life of service for the church, but encounters a darkness that causes her to question her faith and uncovers a terrifying conspiracy that hopes to bring about the birth of evil incarnate. We will be reviewing this on our next episode. I do love the Omen series. I have seen the original Omen as well as the remake of the Omen. But I think this is going to be very good. The trailers, the music, the sound, it is just chilling. So I'm very excited for this movie.
Yeah, me too. I can't wait to see it. I fully intend to rewatch. I'll probably rewatch the original and the remake. Try to before going to see it. And yeah, I'm psyched. We talked a lot about how, you know, religious possession, demon based movies, evil, you know, sometimes they all blur together a little bit, but the omen stands out because it was one of the first and one of the best to do it and really, you know, did a lot of things right. And I'm stoked. I can't wait to see it.
Yeah, absolutely. And then our other film that is going to be coming to Shutter, we have Baghead, coming to Shudder on April 5th. It is described as a young woman inherits a rundown pub and discovers a dark secret within its basement. Baghead, a shape-shifting creature that will let you speak to lost loved ones, but not without consequence. The cover for this film, it looks very spooky. So I'm pretty excited for this too. Shudder typically does not let me down, that's for sure.
Yeah, this is a movie that was on their tentative calendar like a couple months ago or something. It was, and we were going to review it at the time when it was going to come out. And then it got bumped. I don't know what caused what. I don't know what happened, but it got knocked off the calendar. And I was kind of like, I wonder what happened with that. And really had kind of just almost forgotten about it by this point. And then I, you know, it popped up when Shudder at the first of the month released, you know, their upcoming stuff for April. And I was like, oh yeah, there it is. And really looking forward to it. I mean, and you know, had it not fallen in a week with the First Omen, there's a good chance we would have reviewed it. But sorry, you get bumped for the First Omen. So
true story. It's just like last week or last week. You know, there's so much stuff that we wanted to review, but I think we ended up doing
Immaculate.
Why can I never remember that name? I wanted to say Incarnate, but that's another movie. But yeah, that's what, you know, Immaculate. And then, of course, this week was a no-brainer. Winnie the Pooh, Blood and Honey 2. Gotta review that. So
yeah, there wouldn't be much knock that out of the spot for me.
Nope. Definitely not. So
Pooh Crew, baby.
The Pooh Crew, that's right. All right. Well, you've heard it all here, guys. You've heard about all of our birthdays, news, upcoming movies, releases, and anniversaries. So if you want to check these out in real time, make sure you follow us on social media. If you follow us on social media, not only does that give us some ground to stand on when it comes to like sending out surveys and stuff like that, because I know we'd like to send out like little things, see what you guys think. We want to get that interaction with you guys. So make sure you follow us on social media. Don't miss out on this stuff. It's a lot of fun, I promise. But coming up next, our official review of Winnie the Pooh, Blood and Honey 2.
Listen to Their Screams is now a Fangoria collaborator. Get 20% off your order at shop.fangoria.com by using the promo code LISTEN2SCREAMS at checkout. That is listen, the number 2, and screams. Or you can click the link in the show notes.
All right, we're back here on Listen to Their Screams. And oh, bother, it's time for Winnie the Pooh, Blood and Honey 2, a movie that we have been so much looking forward to, and I am ready to talk about it. The movie was written by Rhys Frank Waterfield and Matt Leslie. It is obviously based on characters from A.A. Milne. I don't think he had this in mind when he wrote the stories for his son, but that's okay. Rest easy, A.A. You'll be cool. It is directed by Rhys Frank Waterfield, starring Scott Chambers, Tallulah Evans, Ryan Oliva, Louis Santer, Eddie McKenzie, and Marcus Massey. It had a limited theatrical run on March 26th through 28th. And for those 3 days, it grossed $533,144, which was good for 15th for that week. That is not bad, considering that was a, Tuesday through Thursday? No weekend. Limited run. Man, that's, you know, you cross a half million just on, based on that. I'm sure they'll take it, and they're going to, you know, there's going to be plenty more income and, coming from this movie. And it was great because there was a thing before the movie talking where they were talking about some of the other films that, you know, we've talked about here in the news, you know, several times, some of these things, but we got some peeks into some production drawings and different things. And, probably the biggest thing, or probably the only one that we really hadn't had any verification on prior to this, was they did confirm there will be a Winnie the Pooh Blood and Honey 3, which, you know, we assumed there would be probably, but they, from the mouths of themselves, they have confirmed it is coming with more characters and whatever else. This movie obviously expanded the cast, and the of Pooh's buddies. Let's see, we had Tigger and Al. In my mind, absolutely, I think Al just stole the show for me. Dude was freaking evil. He was smart. He had his feathers were like, or hey, you know, I guess it's his talons or whatever, I guess. But the one scene he regurgitated some, you know, bile or whatever on the guy. He had a great voice, man. He just sounded like a horror villain. But Tigger was a badass too, just clawing the shit out of people. And, of course, Pooh was just on fire as usual. But, this movie, sort of, I guess, retconned the first movie in a way, I guess is what you would call it, where it is now the first movie is now a movie within this one. There was, I believe they called it the 100 Acre Wood Massacre or something like that. That did occur. There was that, but the film that we watched as the first one was actually used as a film based on that in this movie. There was clips,
yeah,
and which was pretty clever, right? It didn't do away with anything that happened in the first, but since there was such a bump in the budget and the look of this and the costumes, there was a noticeable difference. So they used the first movie with the lower budget and everything else as a movie within this. So it was pretty clever. I liked it. And, but man, I thought the guy, which, I can't remember, it was Scott Chambers who played Christopher Robin. No offense to the guy in the first one, but man, Scott Chambers was great. You really felt for the guy because, you know, he was being chastised as being crazy because no one believed about, you know, his stories about Pooh and them. So he was kind of this outcast. And I love how they, in the narration and in the film, they drew parallels between him and Pooh in that sense, right? Where they were both kind of within their worlds, kind of these almost outcasts, right? That had been almost villainized, but, you know, how much of it was their fault and how much of it was forced upon them. And, it was pretty cool, right? It gave a depth to me of that friendship between Christopher Robin and Pooh. And it gave a little more to that to me. The movie, man, it was just fun. The story was fun all the way through. It definitely delivered on the gore and the kills and not giving a shit on it, right? Man, just going for it. Just saying, you know what? We're making a public domain based slasher film with lots of blood. I mean, Pooh is just breaking people apart and ripping people apart and everything else. I had a blast watching this movie. I cannot wait to get it, you know, on video on demand or on streaming or whatever and watch it again. You know, it's not like it's this deep movie to really talk a lot about what happened. You knew, you know, for the most part, what was what. It did have, again, spoilers. There's so many spoilers here. I'm not even, man, I'm on the fence whether to reveal the spoiler about Pooh himself.
Yeah.
And I think we don't, right? Because it's a big thing. And again, there's a lot of people that got to see it. Not just Pooh, but all of them. So let's let's just say when you watch the film, you kind of get the vibe of that. Ooh, that's what's going to happen. And it did, but it still made it very impactful. It was still pretty wild. I like it, man. I like how they take these elements of these stories and twist them into something more modern, a little more demented. And, it worked for me. It really did. It was just this movie, man, this movie was such a blast. Ike, what'd you think?
Yeah, absolutely. I mean, obviously, I second everything that you said, but I would add that, like you said, the big reveal, I felt like the way that they were, you know, like I said, we're not going to say it, but the way that they were, like you kind of mentioned, drawing parallels between some of the characters, it didn't surprise me. And,
yeah,
you know, I think that, like you said, the sort of retconning of the original Winnie the Pooh Blood and Honey, I think it was a necessary step, because the original film is great in its own right, but they are definitely taking this in a more grittier direction, which is why the redesigns of the characters, in my opinion, are so great, is because they seem a little more lifelike and gritty, whereas the original Winnie the Pooh Blood and Honey seemed almost cartoonish in design.
Yeah.
And, like you said, they did retcon the film, not the events of the film per se, but the fact that the first film happened and the way it happened. It's a movie within the movie. And one of my favorite lines is when it's showing in the background. There's a little clip where Winnie the Pooh goes, "It's pooing time," or something like that.
Yeah, in the film. Yeah.
Yeah. And it's super stupid, but I thought it was hilarious. But it's a joke about, like, the whole, like, Morbius, and it's Morbin time and stuff like that. That is kind of an internet meme. So I thought that was funny. But like you said, I felt like the budget for this was so much more. The character design was so much better than the original. The violence was amped up. You know, like you said, there were some really unique kills, from the acid vomit to, I'm trying to remember that opening scene where, like, they tipped over the RV. I mean, there's just so much cool stuff that they did in this film that was just so different than what was from the first film. Because the first film, like we said, low budget. They didn't have the I guess you could say, the wherewithal to do a lot of these more ferocious kills, a lot of these more vicious things, because it just kind of, you couldn't do it with the budget that they had. So seeing what they were able to accomplish with this film, not only did it make the film so much better, but it also gave us a little bit of insight into where they're going to take the rest of the franchise. Because like you said, we have Winnie the Pooh Blood 93, we have the Bambi movie, we have a Pinocchio movie, we have a Peter Pan movie, we have the Pooniverse movie. You know, there's so much great stuff that's going to spawn from this movie's success. So, yeah, I mean, it's just, it's crazy how much they did with what little they had. But not only that, like, this movie felt like a legitimate film. It didn't feel low budget. To me, this gave me Terrifier 2 vibes, you know?
Yeah, I was going to bring that up. There's a lot of people are pulling parallels between the Terrifier films and this.
Yeah.
Not in story, blah, blah, blah. Not like, it's not that. But it's the path, right? Terrifier, I mean, I love Terrifier, the first one. Don't get me wrong. But there is clearly a jump in budget, production, whatever else, between one and two. And that's because of the success of the first one, right? There will clearly be a jump from two to three because of the success and the money that two made.
Yeah.
But this is kind of a similar path, right? The first one was low budget, but they made their film, made in for the budget, made an unbelievable amount of money, which enabled them to make this and has spawned, enabled them to do all these other things. So it's like you hit a home run with your first one within your realms. And we've talked about this before, how there are some movies that do weird things. It's like, know how to work within what you've got, right? Know how to smoke and mirror things that you can't do. If you just can't pull it off with your budget, don't put it in there, right? Do a workaround somehow. Stay within your realm without making it look too ridiculous. And then if it hits and you're successful, then you got the money to do it the way you want to do it with the next one. So yeah, there's a lot of parallels between the Pooh stuff, the Terrifier stuff, and their paths of success. And obviously there's parallels in the style of films, right? With the, not story wise, but with kill wise, right? They're just like, okay, we're going for this. We like blood and things on it. And, we're going to do it the way we want to do it. And I think there's a lot of that same spirit between the two of, we've got what we want to do. We got the story in mind. We've got the way we want to deliver it. We're going to do it. And, no one's going to tell us differently.
Yeah. Absolutely. Absolutely. One other thing I want to add too, and I love to see it, but a lot of, there have been people from the Terrifier 2 cast who have been given a lot of love to this film too. I think I saw Howard Thornton post something about it. So it's also just cool to kind of see like that camaraderie between these two films. And, you know, I mean, like you said, there's a lot of similarities to draw between Damien Leone's path and the path that this crew have taken. So I'm very excited to see what 3 brings for Blood and Honey, and also for Terrifier, because like you said, I just feel like this movie's going to have that, what is the word? It's going to break the next wall. It's going to break the next ceiling, the next barrier that these movies have in their way. And before you know it, these people are going to have enough money to just power through and make whatever they want to make. And that, in my opinion, is the true virtue of making films, is that you get to make what you want to make. And that's when you know a movie's good. You know a movie's good when they're making the film they want to make. And I mean, it sounds cheesy, but you can feel the love in it. Even in horror movies, you can feel when a movie's made with love. And this movie was made with passion and love from its creators, for sure.
Yeah, and there's also the whole added, they have pretty much kicked off and initiated this hot new genre of horror.
Yeah.
Right? They were the first ones to really do it and do it right, or to do it noticeably. And look at all, I mean, not only them, they're doing several of what we have called public domain horror, but there's others. Other people are doing all kinds of stuff, right? There's the Steamboat Mickey win, or whatever it's called, Mickey's Mousetrap, that's jumped on that stuff now. And other, there's lots of other people doing this because they've seen the success and, of utilizing these properties and doing something fun with it. much in the same way, you know, that lots of, you know, Halloween did back in the day, right? Another low budget movie. Worked with what they had, you know, repainted a Shatner mask to make their villain, did this and that. It was huge. Then they got to start making bigger things and do bigger things. There's been lots of films like that, right? Especially within horror. And you know, I mean, Halloween spawned copycats and spawned, you know, that era, that, you know, genre, and Terrifier has done it, right? Terrifier comes in and says, you know what? We're going to really, kick the slasher back into slasher films and, take the kid gloves off, and people are following suit, right? And you're getting more of that. So it's, and the Pooh movies, you know, the first one did that for this. It has kind of kicked off this public domain horror thing. To me, I haven't, you know, obviously seen any of the others they're not out yet, but, it'll be hard pressed because these guys are the first kind of to do it, and they're the leaders, or it'll be tough to do it in the same. You know, I have watched a few, right? There was a couple of, I don't know what it was. Not three little pigs, but like a Little Red Riding Hood one, the Three Blind Mice one. I watched those. They were okay, but they weren't like this, right? This felt different.
Yeah.
And so they're clearly the leaders in this. And it's just, you know, there's something to be said for what they've done. They've established something meaningful. They have taken this character of Winnie the Pooh and developed this whole nother path for it that now people also view this as a version of Winnie the Pooh. It's not just, remember when those people did that weird Winnie the Pooh movie? This is the killer Winnie the Pooh. People now established, this is a Winnie the Pooh that's out there, and they've established a whole genre of this, and it's pretty remarkable, you know, what they've done. And I'm so glad the first one was successful enough that now they can really do what they want to do and get to go nuts with it.
Yeah, absolutely. Absolutely. One last thing I wanted to add too, and this is just super random, but we kind of mentioned it. We were talking about it earlier, but this movie has definitely better little quips than the first one.
Yeah.
And the little last scene, the "oh bother," I was cracking up in the theater. And like that's another thing too, is that the movie takes itself seriously, except for when it shouldn't. And that was one of those points where I was like, yeah, you got to include the famous catchphrase. I mean, how do you not? But I'm super excited. And a small side note too, I'm super excited for the third one too, because they're going to bring in more characters, aren't they?
Yeah.
Like the rabbit character, right?
Yeah, rabbit, and then the Huffalumps and the whatever the other are. There's some characters that were in some of the cartoons and things, and
right.
But rabbit is coming into it, which I think he's really the last of the primary Pooh characters, to my knowledge, because they've done Piglet, Owl, Tigger. They had Eeyore. They killed him off. And but they did, you know, the movie, again, spoiler, did end with them, you know, they're clearly resurrecting Piglet and Pooh to continue on. So maybe Eeyore will, who knows? But I don't know what you would do with Eeyore. He just doesn't.
I feel like he would have to be like a good guy. I feel like he would be on, like, he would be against the bad guys because of how what happened in the first movie. Well, first film ish.
Yeah. So I don't know. But they are using Rabbit and some of the other characters. So I'll be curious to see what they do. And I'll be curious from the initial kind of production drawings, ideas they've thrown out about the Pooniverse. You know, it kind of looks like Pooh's kind of the leader of some of this, you know, because it shows him on, I believe, on a horse or whatever. I don't know. It's pretty wild. But again, it's weird because there's not a lot to talk about with this film content wise, right? I don't mean that in a bad way. There is, right? There are elements of this story that are very, very worthy of talking about. I don't want to dive into that stuff because I don't want to give spoilers, but it's not like this movie has had this huge national release.
Exactly.
And lots of people have had the opportunity. There, you know, it was a 3-day release. Some people didn't even have the chance to watch it. It's not out there streaming, whatever. So I don't want to spoil all the big story elements. But they were good. They worked with the movie. But all the things that we and people loved about the first one, the taking this character and making it something horror related, the blood, the you know, everything about it, they have done in this movie perfectly, but just literally have put it on adrenaline and done it even bigger and better because they had the funding and the backing to do it. And I love this movie. It was so much fun. Again, I know this is people are divided about these movies, whether they're good or they're not good, whether they're worthy or what. So be it. I don't care. Right. People will argue about everything. Do I think this movie will be dominating the award shows come time? No, obviously not. It's not that kind of movie. Do I feel like this movie has broken a lots of ground? No, they're not outside of their use of the public domain characters. They're not doing anything so out of the box, right? They're just doing things that maybe horror has forgotten for a while. And they're tapping into, you know, some of very 80s like horror and bringing into, you know, a modern movie. They're not really doing anything revolutionary. They're very good at picking the inspirations, picking the things that are motivating and driving them and doing them and doing them well and mixing them up well and doing it to make a really, really enjoyable, fun film. And I only say this because, again, when we get to the ratings, I love this movie, but I'm not blind enough to think that this movie is revolutionizing horror. It's not revolutionizing. It is having a hand in refreshing horror.
Exactly.
But it's a difference there. But I cannot recommend that people watch this enough because it was a blast. I so many times I get excited about a movie that I'm really, really pumped for. And you go in there and it's almost like no matter how good it is, it's going to let you down a little bit because you've built it up so much, right? You're so excited. This movie didn't do that. I was so excited. I was so pumped up. I just was, could not wait. And it didn't disappoint me because it gave me everything that I wanted out of it and everything I expected. It delivered in that vein, right? I wouldn't go in there thinking, okay, give me an Oscar worthy story that just blows my mind and just leaves me guessing. That's not what I went in there for. I'm like, okay, give me the fucking bear killing people. And they did. So, maybe when people complain about things, I don't know, is it the movie's fault or is it your expectations fault?
I was going to say, add to that. Expectation is the true killer of enjoyment. I fully believe that. Because if you go into this movie expecting a blockbuster, you're going to be disappointed. But if you literally go into this movie thinking, I'm going to watch fucking Winnie the Pooh maul people to death, you're going to love it.
Yep. Yep. And I did. I did love it. But we balance our ratings, right? It is based on enjoyment, but it is also, we do take into account that we cannot, with good conscience, give every movie a 4 or 5. That's not right. All right. If it were just purely 100% only based on my enjoyment as watching this movie would be a 5.
Oh, absolutely.
No flaws there. If it was just based on my absolute joy, that's the word I give it, right? Because I loved watching it, but that's only one of the factors that we do. We have to be realistic to some extent. Or, you know, if somebody looks at our letterbox and says, oh my God, they gave every movie a 5. These guys are clowns. We have to be reasonable. I'm not pointing out any flaws with the movie because I don't, the things that I see as holding it back from a higher rated movie in our Scream system, I don't see them as flaws. I see them as just their approach, right? Again, they're not doing anything radically different. This has all been done before, yeah, as far as the movie itself, right? There, we've had massive killing and then blood and this and that and whatever. That's all been done. But they have done it in their own way, their own take, and it was effective. And with the public domain element is something that they have tapped into to give it their spin, which is what sets them apart. If you take that away and just make some weird ass character they designed that was a little shoddy, I don't know if it would work as well, right? But they realize that a lot of the appeal and the charm is that you're taking this character and putting it in an ironic situation for the character, right? People don't view Winnie the Pooh doing this and in this way. And that's what it is. So that's what they lean into. And that's intelligent. But again, so I'm rambling here. Let's move on. Let's move on to ratingness. My rating is pretty easy, pretty cut and dry for me. Out of five, I'm giving it a 3.5. Hands down. Again, there's just, this sounds negative, but it's not meant. There's just not anything revolutionary here to bump it to a four for me, where I say they did this, which made it so different. No, that there's not, but that doesn't mean anything bad. So based on that, it's a 3.5 to me, a very, very solid 3.5, absolutely zero consideration ever given for it being lower than that. In my head, my argument was, is there enough to make it a four? And I finally determined that not necessarily, but it was strong enough that it did make me pause and think. So, there was not ever a consideration for me to ever rank it anything below a 3.5. So yeah. Ike, out of five screams, what are you giving it?
So when we immediately left the theater, I literally turned to my wife and I was like, I wish we could give quarter points because like you said, it wasn't a four, but I felt like it's more than a 3.5. So it was like a 3.75 would be perfect, but I do have to agree. A 3.5 does accurately depict that this was a very good movie. It had a lot of passion behind it. There was a lot of really positive things about this film, and I still highly recommend everybody go out and watch it. Just like, it's not revolutionary. These are not original characters. One of the downfalls of all of these public domain films will probably be that these are not original characters. Now, are they doing what they can to make them more original? Absolutely. They're redoing their original stories. They're redoing what they can to give the presentation of an original character. It's just that that's not always possible when it comes to public domain or existing material. That's why Art the Clown is so iconic and such a dynamic character, because he is his own entity. He is not necessarily based off of anybody in the way that Winnie the Pooh is, because there is a lot of existing Winnie the Pooh media. So, like you said, 3.5 out of 5, very good film. Definitely go watch it. Just nothing super original.
Yeah. Yeah. Again, I cannot express enough how entertaining the movie is.
Yeah.
So, all other things aside, this movie is so fun. I always worry about for some reason, I always get caught up on a lot on the lengths of movies. And it's like, I'll see a movie that's like 2.5 hours, and I immediately in my head think, oh God, is there enough solid movie here for them to give me a 2.5 hour movie? And I go into it already predetermined with this thought of, all right, we're going to see if this can hold my attention for 2.5 hours. Or even 2 hours. Sometimes I think I'm like, is this really enough here for a 2 hour movie? I'm always thinking like that. It's just it's a thing I do. I don't even know what the runtime on this was. I didn't even look at it, but it's literally a movie when it's over. I'm like, come on. I could have had a little more. It's like, give me another big kill scene or something. But, so again, we gave it a 3.5 out of 5, but I cannot express again how fun this movie was to watch, how badly I want to watch it again, and how, just on pure joy and whatever else, fun, whatever you want to call it, entertainment, this movie is great. It is spectacular. It's a movie that I won't even know how many times I probably end up rewatching it. Because it's going to be one of those movies that I'm going to put on it and I'm going to start chuckling at stuff that I've seen. You know, that's always a good sign for me with the movie, right? When you're rewatching it and you know something that's coming, but you're already chuckling about it and you can't wait to see it again.
Yeah.
Right. You're thinking, oh, there's that one scene. God, that was great. And you're like anticipating it, even though you already seen it. You already knew what it was. And this is going to be that kind of movie, right? Where it's like, even if you know what's coming, you're like, oh yeah, I can't wait to see that again. And they've taken established characters and they've put a, you know, a new coat of paint on it. And they found a successful formula. And the ideas that they've thrown out there that they talked about before the movie with Bambi and with Pinocchio, with the Peter Pan. Man, they're all clever ideas. They're all some really good stuff. I mean, they mentioned that, yeah, in the Peter Pan movie, Tinkerbell's going to be in it, and she's going to think that heroin is pixie dust. And I'm like, you know what? That's funny. That's pretty clever. And it's just, you know, I mean, Pinocchio is going to have the telescoping growing nose that he's going to use to kill people, right? That's hey, that's an obvious, right? You got to do that, but it's going to be fun. I like the fact that they talked about with the Pinocchio that they're getting the guy that designed Chucky for Child's Play, some yeah. Child's Play movie to do. I'm like, that's, you know, that's great. That's what you need to do. I love the concept of where it looks like with the Bambi movie that Bambi's out to get revenge on the hunter that killed his mother. I'm like, oh, that makes perfect sense for the story. That's great. You know, these are clever little spins and takes on these things. And, you know, I know some people scoff at it, but you know, a lot of these things, come on, people, read your source material.
Yeah.
A lot of these did not start as nice, shiny little cartoon Disney movies. They were a little darker, a little more twisted, a little. This is actually, for some of these, this is a little closer to the actual source material. So, you know, I mean, in the original Cinderella, the stepsisters were cutting their feet to try to put their feet in the glass slipper. I mean, they were trying to make it fit. I mean, there's some gruesome stuff.
It is.
So know the material before, you know, again, not necessarily Winnie the Pooh. Winnie the Pooh's always been pretty innocent and I get it, but that's okay. That's what makes the clash and the irony so fun for me. It's like you don't and in my mind, I'm always able to separate the two, right? There's the nice, fun, cuddly, colorful cartoon Winnie the Pooh, and then there's this one, right? And to me, they're just two separate interpretations of the same character. And I'm good with that because in the movies, they explain how Pooh went from being, you know, supposedly a friend. Well, never mind. I'm not going to talk about that because, again, they did retcon a little bit of that in this movie, too. So.
Right.
So enough. Go see the movie. Or I guess you can't go see the movie. It's not in theaters anymore. See the movie when it comes out video on demand or streaming. No word on that yet. I know the first one on Peacock now.
The first one's on Peacock, so I suspect that the second one probably will be too, assuming they keep the rights.
Yeah, I know originally the first one, I think, initially went to Amazon Prime.
Yeah,
I think that was just because that was the probably one of their only avenues to try to get it out there. But then once it, you know, with the success, then obviously Peacock. So hopefully, you know, I really assume that this will hit video, at least hit video on demand pretty quickly. Seeing as how it only had the limited theater, you would think that very, very soon we'll see this video on demand. Fingers crossed, you know, that we start to see it pop up. It'll probably have a run video on demand, then it'll move to a streaming. So this is definitely worth the purchase, video on demand for me. So, all right. So, again, we already talked about it, but next episode, we are reviewing The First Omen, which comes to theaters April 5th. So go see that before. So that you can think along with us when we talk about that in review. Make sure you subscribe to us on social media so that you can keep track of what we're sharing, what we're doing. You know, all these birthdays and anniversaries are out there, but we put lots of other stuff on there too. Sometimes some day-to-day stuff that we're doing that's horror related. We share things from other people. If there's a breaking news story that is really, really hot, we put it out there even before the episodes because it's not something we want to sit on for a few days. So make sure you follow us on social media to keep track of all that. It is the best way to know what's going on in Screamville. So, Ike, before we close this out, anything you want to throw in?
It's pooing time.
Oh, bother.
love it.
If you had to say that you were a character from the Pooniverse here that is so far established, or just any Winnie the Pooh character in general, doesn't have to be for this, but who would you be?
Oh man, probably, I don't know. I'm trying to think of my personality traits. Let's see. Probably Winnie the Pooh. I like to eat a lot.
Yeah, I can see that. Like, you ever been stuck in a honey tree before?
I've never been stuck in a tree. Not that I can recall, at least. So, I mean,
Have you ever got stuck in a refrigerator before? I guess that would be an equivalent. Let's see. I don't know, man. That's weird. Cause yeah, there's some definite poo-like qualities about me as well. But I really think, I don't know. I feel like there's a very healthy dose of Eeyore in me, because there's a whole lot of, fuck the world. Just leave me alone. I'm going to go and do my thing. And
right,
whatever happens, I mean, you know, if the world's going to burn, just burn around me, leave me alone. but I, you know, I'm not that negative all the time. So,
right.
So I don't know. I mean, Piglet's kind of simple. And I don't think I'm that simple. Al's pretty damn smart. I don't know if I'm quite that smart. I don't know. But I think I got a little bit, you know, Tigger's kind of fun and playful. I got a little bit. I think I'm a nice conglomeration. Maybe I'm just Christopher Robin.
There you go.
And, you know, whatever. So be it. I don't know why we decided to,
What prompted this discussion?
I mean, I don't know.
Who knows?
Well, whatever. So next episode, again, The First Snowman. We'll see you then. But before then, wherever you go, whatever you do, be good, be safe, and have many pleasant nightmares.